Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee, June 25th, 1991, 1:30 p.m.
Committee on Public Safety will come to order, and I would announce for the benefit of the people that are here regarding 990. It seems as though that there's some of us in the House that can't agree on just what we should do today. So we will postpone any action on Senate Bill 990 or the Criminal Justice Council until tomorrow. And those of you that have been around a while that understand the legislature, well, you'll understand maybe what's going on, hopefully.
Or at least that something is going on.
Yeah, that something's going on, and either good or bad. So we will open the hearing then on House Bill 2779, which is the Housing Trust Fund Bill, I believe. And we have Senator Jim Hill here. Jim, would you like to give you the courtesy of making your comments here, and then do whatever
yes.
we need to.
Thank you very, very much, Mr. Chair and committee members. I want to thank you for your willingness to take action on the bill for the Housing Trust Fund and State Senator Jim Hill, District 16. When the session started and we were having to think of how we were going to deal with Measure 5, I think the housing, at least in my committee, was one of the bright spots that we had, and I thought that we could really do something. The idea of the Housing Trust Fund had been worked on in the interim, and really it represents another opportunity for Oregon to again be a leader and do something innovative in trying to make up for action, or I think in this case inaction, of the federal government, and basically about abandoning any type of policy toward housing. What you have before you in House Bill 2779 is really a bipartisan effort. My House colleague, Bob Repine, has just done a yeoman's work in coming up in his work on this bill, and he's on a conference committee. I hope he will have an opportunity to be here. But we worked very well together to come up with this. The coalition of people who pulled together to come up with this bill is truly impressive, and I think their work product reflects it. And so rather than take up your time, I would just say that I know that funds are tight. I appreciate your willingness to fund this at a level, and hopefully you'll fund it at the best level that you can. And it will be a culmination of a great deal of hard work. And for the record, here is a list. I won't go through and I won't read it, but a list of the coalition that helped put this bill together. It is very, very important to increase the housing stock. Housing was one of the sleeper issues that really snuck up on us. But there is an old saying that a well-housed nation is a happy nation, and I think that applies for states. And the funding of the Housing Trust Fund will be a beginning in helping to supply the housing needs of the state of Oregon in the near future and in the far future, in the long term. Thank you very much. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Senator Hill. Are there questions of Senator Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank
I appreciate
you very
the
much.
Opportunity.
Senator Cohen, are you here regarding the Housing Trust
Fund? I would also like some informal few minutes to talk about the Criminal Justice Council. I understand you had an informal hearing yesterday. I'd like a few minutes to give you 5 minutes of my informal time today.
Very good.
Sounds fair.
On this housing?
Pardon?
On the housing trust fund?
I'm really talking about the Criminal Justice Council that was on the agenda.
The Criminal Justice Council that was on today, of course, isn't on now. Now,
right.
If you want to wait, I'll give you a chance after we finish with this.
I would appreciate it. Thank you very much.
To make some statements, which is no problem, except that
we're working.
We're doing this. Mr. Peter Grounds-Fossen, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have some documents to circulate here to the committee.
What is the protocol? Shall I wait for the chair to return?
No, you go. Go ahead. It's fine.
Mr. Chairman and committee, my name is Peter Grounds-Fossen. I represent the Association of Oregon Housing Authorities, and in this case, the Housing Lobby Coalition. The Housing Lobby Coalition has worked during the interim to fashion the House Bill 2779, which is before you this afternoon. The bill has been lobbied extensively earlier in the session. It went to the House from the House Committee on Housing. It went to the full House and achieved a vote of 60-0, which indicates widespread acceptance and understanding of the concept of the trust fund bill. Then the bill, of course, was sent back here to Ways and Means and has been awaiting final dollar figures. I have given you a sheet of paper entitled the Housing Lobby Coalition HB 2779, the Oregon Housing Fund, and it has a set of numbers on it. This set of numbers indicates the possibility of a $35 million appropriation, which is on the face of B engrossed 2779. It also has, halfway down the sheet, a $30 million appropriation, and at the bottom, a $25 million appropriation. We wait with bated breath in the coalition to hear of what funding level we'll achieve, but demonstrates, if you look at the asterisks under the $35 million, we would hope at the $35 million level to see a trust fund of $24 million, with $6 million also designated for the 1991-93 startup construction and rehabilitation, and $5 million for emergency housing services. That makes a total of $35 million. If we drop down to the $25 million level, it reduces the Housing Trust Fund to a $14 million fund and leaves $6 million for first biennium startup construction and rehab and $5 million for emergency housing services. Now, in House Bill 2779, there are line items for each of those figures to be inserted, depending on where this committee and the rest of the full legislature decide we ought to land. If you look again at the section, the first paragraph under the $35 million, you see that $6 million will be multiplied by five in commercial loans, federal grants, and local contributions for a total of $30 million, and it will produce approximately 660 units of all kinds of housing. That includes studio apartments and 1, 2, 3, and 4 bedroom apartments and single family dwellings. We figure that they'll cost about $45,000 each. When you add what can be produced with the trust fund interest that will be spun off annually. With a $35 million total appropriation, you can get 1,100 units a year. With a $30 million total appropriation, you can get a thousand units in the first biennium, excuse me. And with a $25 million appropriation, you can get about 900 units up in the first biennium. I'd be glad to talk about that at greater length if you need to have greater understanding of that. So what we're doing is we're establishing three accounts. One account is an emergency account to help those people that are in shelters and to transition them out of shelters and to assist the frail elderly in their homes to keep them there, and for other rent and emergency mortgage assistance to keep people in their houses. $6 million for first biennium construction and rehab startup, and then whatever else we can get into a housing trust fund. I'd like, I think the Housing Lobby Coalition would like for the committee to know that before Measure 5 struck, we had plans for coming and asking the legislature for $95 million in housing money for this bill. And we have consistently cut that back in the face of Measure 5 exigencies, and are willing to settle, of course, at a reasonable figure. But we will very likely return in the 1993 session of the legislature to ask for more. The reason for that is there is an immediate need for at least 10,000 low-income affordable housing units in Oregon today. We have a deficit of at least 10,000 units. With 5,000 to 6,000, or 4,000 to 5,000 people homeless each night, and with 50,000 to 60,000 low-income households currently paying more than 30% of their income on rent and utilities. Mr. Chairman and committee, I don't want to overload you with information on this issue. I've distributed a sheet that indicates the members of the Housing Lobby Coalition. We're very proud of the 20-plus members of this coalition that includes organizations from both the public and the private sectors, the State Home Builders Association, the Oregon Bankers Association, the State Realtors Association, along with numerous provider groups that are human service provider groups, very concerned about housing. We believe jointly that housing is fundamental, and if we don't have a solid housing program for our low-income families, the other human services that we provide for them will be of reduced effect. So unless you have questions, I'll stop my testimony.
I do. I may be the only one, but I don't understand how this works. I've had no end of people who have come in and said all the stuff you just said. We need houses and all that stuff. I haven't found anybody who can tell me how this thing works.
I'd be glad to tell you.
Could you do that? Just all I want to know is just the briefest kind of thing. Are we setting up a loan that leverages private money? How does that work? How is it back? You know, just a few little things. There isn't anybody who's for all this stuff that even knows what.
Let's assume you appropriate $25 million to this account.
Okay.
All $25 million goes to the State Housing Agency.
Okay.
It resides there in three separate accounts.
Okay.
And if you look at the bottom of the sheet that I gave you with the numbers on it, under the $25 million, the first three asterisks divides the money into the three accounts. $14 million goes into a housing development and guarantee account. It's commonly called the Housing Trust Fund. And it sits there, and it draws interest. Assuming the interest is 8% annually, it'll draw $1,120,000 annually. We feel, based on the experience of other states, that we can multiply that by five.
Yeah, I saw that. How does that work?
Commercial loans is the largest part of it. It'll also draw some federal matching money. It'll also draw some local contributions. from cities and counties, largely property and so forth, on which housing facilities can be placed. So we wind up then at with a $14 million housing trust fund, you wind up in the first year and every year thereafter with a $5,600,000 construction and rehabilitation program.
I got the bet about earning interest, and that's a guarantee. I'm still not quite sure. You said commercial loans, but that's technically not true. It's not really commercial loans. It's a real estate loan. So how does that?
Well, real estate loans is what
well,
I meant.
Well, in the banking business, a commercial loan is something different.
Well, all right. Real estate loans.
So now Senator Hill wants to get in on this thing as a private.
All right.
Okay. He goes to a bank. He doesn't come to the housing fund. He goes to a bank. Is that true?
Well, that could be a way of beginning, putting together a package. What happens is a developer, either a private developer or a nonprofit developer,
right,
or a government developer like a development commission or a housing authority,
okay,
can develop a program for, say, building 20 units. We want to build 20 units for just say a community of sobriety. Nobody there can drink. And there will be an alcohol and drug treatment program in conjunction with this, okay? They come forward with a plan and they bring their private financing, they bring their federal financing, they bring their local financing, and they bring it to the housing agency, and they say, housing agency, we still need for these 20 units $300,000 to make it work at rent levels that these lower income people can afford. And they're asking for a $300,000 grant from the housing agency. I'm using theoretical numbers. Could be $100,000, might be $1 million for a larger program. So what they're doing is topping off their program. The problem that we have is that the private sector cannot build low-income affordable housing. It must be subsidized. And so we have this interest that is developed in the housing trust fund, resides in the housing agency, and is available for matching and bringing down the total mortgage rates for a development so that low-income people can afford the rent.
Is that another loan or is that not a loan?
And it's a grant.
It is a grant.
Okay.
Let me say it another way then.
All right.
If I was a developer, I would probably go to a bank or an SNL. I suppose it could be an insurance company, but somebody like that.
Good.
So I go with my project, and it's an X million dollar project, and when you go to, I think what I hear you saying is when you go to pencil it out. Oh, and I also the bank is probably going to ask me to come up with 20% down based on my experience. About 20 to 30% down, because that's what they do, unless there's this difference somehow. But then when you go to pencil it out and figure out what the payments on it are going to be with that much of equity and that much loan, when the banker sits down and says, how much are you going to charge for this? And I say something that doesn't pencil out, he says, you got a problem. So what we're saying then is that we have the interest on this trust fund only available to help kind of add to the equity. Is that what we're saying?
That's correct.
Which in turn means the loan is less, which in turn means that the payment is less, so now I can charge that. Is it that simple?
I think it's that simple. In theoretical terms. We're not talking
so where's the 5-to-1 rate going right now?
The 5?
Can you help, Ray?
Well, the 5-to-1 ratio is also a theoretical figure based upon how housing trust funds are operating around the country today.
Well, that is not me.
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Ray Ramsey, and I'm the administrator of the Oregon Housing Agency. First, on the leverage, what we did was we surveyed every state in the country that has a trust fund. There are about 20 to 25. The leverage ratio was from 3-to-1 to 9-to-1. And what the leveraging means is for every trust fund dollar you put in, you would get three other dollars in the project, or nine other dollars in the project, in that range. Mm-hmm. One example would be, the state right now has the capacity to do multifamily bonds, and the interest rate is going to be about 8.5%. Given unit costs ranging anywhere from $40,000 to $45,000 per unit, somewhere in that range, the rents are still going to be too high for many families to afford it. So we call that an affordability gap.
Right.
So to get that gap down, basically to write the interest rate down up front so that we can have these 30-year bonds to make sense, we would be able to pump money into the project, whatever it would be, $100,000, $200,000, and there's where you get your ratio. If it's a $3 million bond that's sold and you're putting $300,000 in the project, you have 10 other dollars for every one that you've put in. So you get a 10-to-1 leverage ratio in that example. So that's how you can stretch the dollars far. You can use tax-exempt bonds, you can use taxable bonds, you can use the federal tax credit, which helps provide low-income projects. A city or a county, we've had examples where Ashland has donated land, Eugene has donated land. That is, in essence, a leverage, increases the leverage ratio. So the trust fund dollars will go further. We envision making those dollars go far. State of Washington leverages somewhere around 6-to-1 for every dollar they have in their trust fund. So we're basically patterning after what they're doing.
Okay.
Great.
Is it contemplated that for the most part, these are going to be regular, kind of vanilla, conventional mortgage loans through financial institutions?
Mr. Chair, Representative Calori, what we would envision as far as implementing this is to do a series of RFPs initially. And so what we would do is look for the best, most innovative projects, and the bill language talks about preferences, and there are preferences for serving the most low income, there are preferences for services associated with the project. So we're going to look, bring those projects that we consider are the best to the Housing Council, and they'll approve or disapprove the best projects. So it's hard to say which ones will get in. But there are some preferences written in.
Yeah, but that wasn't my question. My question is the major part of the financing. Mm-hmm. Regardless, I mean, if you follow all those criteria, you pick the project. Okay, now we got a project.
Right.
Now, there still has to be somebody driving the development. Somebody's going to provide the major part of the funding, because this is still, in fact, only a very small part of the funding. That's the question. Is it contemplated that, for the most part, these are pretty standard loans through standard financial institutions? Then, a little bit refinement, are they FHA loans? Are they standard loans? I mean, I don't know. But we're still talking about still going through the normal way of doing things there.
Mr. Chair, Representative Calori, absolutely. I mean, it would be going through a bank loan, it would be potentially using our tax exempt bonds,
yeah,
or a housing authority bond, some conventional means, but augmenting that with the trust fund.
Right. Okay. And obviously we have some assurance that the financial institutions are interested in all of this, obviously. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, following that, Section 6 of the bill provides that the trust fund that is established is also a loan guarantee fund.
I was going to ask that.
To help to encourage the financial institutions to come into this process on the assumption that there may be some concern by the bank examiners about high risk loans for these kinds of projects. So we have here in the trust fund itself a dual purpose.
Okay.
One, it spins off its interest, but the capital remains a risk guarantee fund.
Okay, that helps a lot. I was going to ask that. And is that over and above the normal kind of financial, I mean, the federal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'm working my way up here.
But I need to ask Ray just a simple question. Supposing that I, as a investor or a builder or whatever, wanted to come in and build, say, 50 units or whatever, and how much of the down payment would you help with out of this fund, if any? Then I could take that and go to a bank or whatever and get the money. And then And I assume that I would have to build those so that they can be rented to in the right category at the right rate. But now, would you help me get that loan, like from a down payment or whatever?
Mr. Chair, I would sure help you try to get that loan. What we would do is, again, if we had an RFP process, if that was your proposal and your proposal was you needed X amount of dollars for a down payment,
right,
and that's what yours
looked
like,
that's an
eligible criteria.
And that's what you would use the earnings from this trust fund for.
Absolutely.
Then would there be any subsidy down the road? That would be up to me then to make that unit work after you have given me the help to get it off the ground.
It would, Mr. Chair, it would operate much like our bond financing now. Your rents would have to stay within range
right.
for the income that you're pledged to serve.
But now, do I have to pay you back?
It's a grant.
The down payment?
It's a grant.
That's what I want to get nailed down.
I heard a question embedded in there that you didn't answer yet, and I'd like to get this is for easy numbers. Say we got $1 million total project. I'm still on the assumption that the bank is going to insist on 20-30% down. So let's just for sake of numbers, let's say 25.
Sure.
So there's 250,000 that has to be gathered together in order to go to the bank before they're even going to pay attention. Now, can you give us some kind of feel of the 250,000 requirement? How much are you going to have some kind of standard that says that this trust fund will only provide some portion of that total amount, half, a third, two-thirds, the refinement of the question he asked.
Mr. Chair, Representative Flory, with the RFP process, we're going to get a whole variety of proposals looking in a variety of forms. We don't have anything contemplated in the bill that says only X amount can be used for a down payment or only Y amount can be used for a down payment. Mm. There's nothing in the bill that says anything about how much can be used for a down payment. The bill says there are priorities, there are preferences, and so we're going to look for the biggest bang for the buck to build as many units as we can for low-income people. So to the extent that if you needed X amount for a down payment and you were going to provide the most units, you'd have a good chance to get funds. But somebody else's proposal may look entirely different and it may be better for some other reason. They may have a payoff on the end or something else that makes it more attractive to build the units. So the bill is written with flexibility.
And those RFPs are from, not from banking institutions, but from developers.
Developers.
Okay. Right. Well, I guess I would hope that I could easily make a case for saying that if there was some kind of standard that said that no more than half of the required equity would come from this loan, then that seems to me to have the effect of having the possibility of doing more loans. If you have the first two or three people in the door, even with some of these preferential, we're going to put it in, a really depressed area as an example and serve really low-income people and all those wonderful things. But if you give total equity to a small number of projects, you haven't, in fact, levered it. So I personally would rather see you insist that whoever's doing the project also come up. I mean, we're starting to talk about mobile home parks again, with no equity in the thing at all, maybe. And I would hope you wouldn't do that.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to briefly respond to that. Again, with the premium being on leveraging the dollars as far as we can,
right,
any grant amount is equity, in essence. So
we're
always talking about some equity being infused into the project. So, but we're always going to be searching for the highest leverage ratio that we can get.
Good.
Right. Very good. Senator
Hannan? Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
We've been kind of monopolizing.
No, it's fine. The agency is the one who makes a determination on the money, or the Housing Council?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hannan, the Housing Council has approval or disapproval of the loans.
Okay. Now, is there...
Grants, excuse me.
Are there grants?
Right.
Okay. The money that can be used, as I understand it, you'd be using it from the interest that's generated on the account, not the principal.
Right, that's right.
So once you reach that maximum amount of money, the program would happen, be held in abeyance until interest was generated again in the next quarter, what would occur at that point?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hannah, what we would envision is the way the bill is contemplated now, there would be this initial startup. So we would divide that up through the biennium, probably in $2 million RFPs throughout the next 18 months.
So he has constant ongoing resources?
Absolutely. And then as the interest is spewing off, then we would have some other projects that we could do in between the RFPs.
Okay.
So we wouldn't just dry up.
Now, if somebody is given a grant, I assume in a grant you have to pay it back. It's free and clear. This is it. Is there a maximum limit on how much you're going to issue as far as one group or individual coming in and seeking the release of a grant on the size of the grant money?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hannon, the bill does not go into that kind of detail. I would imagine in administrative rules we're going to put some limitations, and we're going to probably put some floors in for what kind of leverage ratio we want to see in a project. But right now the bill doesn't have any language in it limiting that.
Mr. Chairman, if I may respond to Senator Hannon's question in a slightly different way. The bill has a set of preferences in it such that it requires competition. And the agency is going to have to respond to competition. And therefore, it would be virtually impossible for the agency to give all of the money away to one developer for one project.
Okay. I just want to make sure it's going to be spread out.
Yes,
what we like to call a little equity around.
Not only that, but there are provisions in the bill that require that the funds.